Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget all the cool things you can do at my site. It's a little bit of small business nirvana and archives, articles. You can subscribe to my free newsletter. And don't forget, when you're a subscriber to my newsletter, that puts you in a special little community. And by the way, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything to be part of this special little community. But there are advantages to being part of our newsletter community. Because because of some of the affinity programs we put together, we're able to offer those folks a little bit of a special deal, some special deals through our corporate partners. And so these are affinity deals you have to be part of an organization, so to speak. You have to be part of a group. You have to join a little bit of a group to be able to take advantage of that. And I hope you'll do that. And you know what? You might even like the newsletter. Who knows? Rick Keating is our guest, and he does a lot of writing. He's the author of DC by the Numbers, also New York by the Numbers, and US by the Numbers, and I think soon it's going to be Mars by the Numbers. He's chief economist for the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, but more importantly, he's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and our friend. Rick Keating, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back. So how's that Mars book coming?
It's coming, actually. You know, after the sports book, I'll get to Mars.
When is
the
sports book? I'm ready for the sports book. We're anxiously awaiting the sports book.
I'm anxiously awaiting it as well. So is my publisher.
Is your publisher anxiously awaiting it?
Actually, they've been very understanding. You know, three jobs tends to get in the way of book writing, but it's coming along.
Well, what do you do in your spare time, Ray?
I know. And, you know, once in a while, I get to see my wife and play with the kids. So.
Right. Ray, John Bolton is the president's nominee to be the ambassador to the UN. And he chose that man because he knows he is a take-no-prisoners kind of guy. He's going to kick butt and take names in the UN and hopefully contribute to straightening out that organization, if that can ever possibly be done. I've changed my mind I've decided that Mr. Bolton should be nominated to be the ambassador to the Senate, to the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
I've now decided that the only organization that's more dysfunctional than the UN is the United States Senate. What do you think?
The greatest deliberative body, right? Democracy. Yeah, it's very frustrating, and it's I got even more frustrated this morning when I grabbed the Wall Street Journal from the end of my driveway and saw one of the front page stories that they're backtracking. And you knew this was in the works, but that they're closer to a deal on keeping the estate tax or the death tax around. So that's extremely frustrating.
What's the news on that?
Well, the negotiations are that they would
Ray, stop for a second. Folks, this is the death tax, along with the tax reforms, other tax reforms, are supposed to be phased out through 2009, I think it is, or 10.
Yeah, well, that's a good thought.
Tell us about that.
What's going on right now is the death tax is being phased out. The exemption level is increasing, the tax rate is coming down, all good things, and then it's supposed to disappear in 2010, go the way of the dodo. So that's a good thing. Anytime you can get rid of a tax, that's great, especially a tax like the death tax, which impacts family businesses and farms and investors, and it just, you know, it's an ugly, unfair tax.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts the economy, and after you pay a lifetime of taxes, you know, the government shows up at death's doorstep and wants even more, a big chunk of your assets. So the death tax has never been a good tax. It's a good idea to get rid of it. But it comes back, under current legislation, it comes back in 2011. So we've been fighting, our group certainly and others have been fighting to make the death tax repeal permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And the House of Representatives has certainly been on board and actually has voted for permanent repeal, but the trouble, as you mentioned, is in the Senate. And this morning's Wall Street Journal has a big article about how there's a deal brewing in the Senate to keep it around, but with higher exemption levels. So, in other words, they're talking somewhere between, you know, maybe the exemption level would be $3 million, $5 million, or even $10 million, with a tax rate of 15%, which would be the same as the capital gains tax rate. Now, some people say, well, isn't that better than what we had before? And obviously the answer is yes, but...
cutting off my foot is better than cutting off my whole leg.
You put it perfectly.
I'd like to keep both of them, if you don't mind.
That's exactly right. And the fact that we have, you know, gotten rid of this tax for 2010... and we just need to make this permanent, it's extremely frustrating that essentially they're talking about bringing it back. And you know, again, when you're talking about exemption levels of $3 million up to $10 million, a lot of people say, well, it's a big deal. It only hits the wealthiest. Well, guess what? It doesn't. Because you know as well as I do that there are a lot of businesses out there with assets. Remember, this is a tax
land
on total assets.
Land and building and inventory.
You
that,
got it.
That mom and pop accumulated over all this time. Ray, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Ray if he agrees with me that I think the Republicans don't have the stomach for the blood sport that politics has become. 20 Tales, stay with us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate is 17 Till. We're back with our good friend Ray Keating, Chief Economist for Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. Ray, tell us about the SBEC.
Well, we're a membership group nationwide. We have about 70,000 members, and we work on public policy issues from A to Z that impact entrepreneurs, small businesses, and the economy. And you can get all sorts of good stuff about our group at our website, which is www.sbecouncil.org.
It's a very tight group of a band of merry men and women, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody does more for small business, pound for pound.
And depending on what's going on, maybe not so merry.
Pound for pound, though, nobody does more for small business than the SBE Council. And if you recognize Ray's voice and his name, but you don't recognize the organization, that's because they changed their name recently and within the last year or so. You might remember them as a Small Business Survival Committee, SBSC. Give us the website, Ray.
www.sbecouncil.org.
And if you're looking on the website under Ray's, all of Ray's archives, or Karen Kerrigan, who's the president of SBE Council, you look at all their names and you see down there that they were with another organization. They didn't change. They just changed the name.
Yep, exactly.
Ray, I made this comment before we went to the break. I'm convinced. I don't just believe this. I'm convinced that Republicans don't have the stomach for the blood sport that politics has become. What do you think?
Well, it depends. You know, it goes from situation to situation, and it can be very frustrating. You know, we were talking about the death tax and getting rid of it. And in my view, it's not even a blood sport issue, whether you want to roll up your sleeves and get into it, but it's just kind of a strategy issue. I mean, when you look at the tax issue and making the tax cuts permanent, including the repeal of the death tax, it can be done in the budget bill, which means you don't have to, you know, to get past all the arcane things in the Senate. Mm-hmm. Basically the budget bill gets passed by a simple majority. So if you stick your tax cuts in there, you don't have to worry about that magic, you know, reaching 60 votes and overcoming a filibuster.
To avoid
and
filibuster, yeah.
So it's, to be honest with you, I'm perplexed. I've been bewildered by this. I think a lot of it has to do with some fears within the Republican ranks and at least stated among the Democrats about, you know, projected budget deficits and if we put the tax cuts in there. You know, they so much in Washington is driven by fiction. And what I mean by fiction is, you know, these 10-year budget projections that, you know, everybody loves to do now. Now, you know, if you cut taxes, say it's going to cost X trillions of dollars over the next 10 years and so on and so on. You know, these projections are preposterous. You know, it wasn't too long ago that we had budget surpluses projected as far as the eye could see. And now, you know, in the last year or two, we've had budget deficits projected as far as the eye can see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get past a year or two, those long-term projections are simply ridiculous. But nonetheless, that's what guides much of what goes on in Washington when it comes to the tax issue.
Well,
they also, you know, you also don't hear them talking too much about, you know, the folks that don't like the tax cuts are the folks that generally love the spending increases. And, of course, they don't talk too much about the massive 10-year projections on their favorite programs and how much that's going to increase.
Right. So. Well, the thing that's upsetting me about the Senate is so many things are getting passed that would be beneficial to small business, and I think to America in the House. But like the Association of Health Plans, for example, 8 times, I believe, in the House. And yet they're being hung up in the Senate. And it seems to me that 45 Democrats, with the help of one or two Republicans who defect, and maybe more, maybe seven sometimes who defect, it seems to me that group is basically holding up the will of the people, because the will of the people elected the current majorities, and they're just holding it up. Now, I understand that the structure of the Senate and why it's there, but at some point in time, when does the world stand up? When does the nation stand up and look at those guys and say, you're just being obstructionists?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and it's extremely frustrating. And you know, when you look at Republicans, you know, have expanded their majorities, the majority in the Senate, yet it's so many of these things are still bottled up. So
they don't know how to be in the majority, the Republicans, it seems to me. And I'm concerned about this Kyoto business, the global warming thing. You know, Ray, the globe is warming. There's no question there's global warming going on. You know why? Because 10,000 years ago, Kentucky was under a glacier. So, yes, there is global warming. It's been going on for 10,000 years.
Yeah, you know, the Wall Street Journal did a wonderful piece on this just
this
earlier
week.
This week.
It was very good.
And they put that little temperature graph there on what the temperature has done. And it's very clear that we're in, you know, a natural trend, if you will. And when you look at the science, you know, everybody, the global warmers have done a magnificent job, you have to tip your hat to them, of taking basically a fringe idea, the idea that mankind's activities are dangerously warming the Earth, and moved it into the mainstream. So they've done a masterful job, which means that the folks on the other side, which basically we're defending common sense, we haven't done a good job if this kooky kind of idea has been in the mainstream now. So it's very frustrating, and you have, you know, the Senate in 1997 said no to the Kyoto Protocol.
98-0.
Yeah, they said, you know, if this is going to cost us jobs and make us uncompetitive, then we shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
But nonetheless, this is another issue that just does not go away.
Stand by, Ray. Folks, when we come back, my thinking on Kyoto is that it's not about global warming. It's about making the U.S. less competitive. And I'm going to get Ray to see if Ray agrees with me on that. Ray Keating is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Ten Tail, stay with us.
Waiting for the break of day. Searching.
We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. Ray Keating is our guest. Ray, where can we get your book, U.S. by the Numbers?
You can get it, for example, at Amazon.com. You can get, I think you can still get all three of them, U.S. by the Numbers, New York by the Numbers, D.C. by the Numbers.
All right.
And
you're going to do Sheboygan
by
the Numbers next, right?
Even, you know, I got to tell you a quick story. My oldest son, who's in elementary school, is even now saying, hey, Dad, when's this book going to be done? So I got the pressure on at all fronts.
SBECouncil.org, right?
Absolutely, and we're things are updated there on a regular basis. You can sign up. One of the great things that we have, you can become a member through the website. You can get our e-news update, which is a weekly e-news that gives you a rundown on all the important things that are happening on the policy front that impact small businesses. So I think that's a big plus that a lot of people appreciate in terms of getting that in their email.
Can we still?
Box.
It's a good newsletter, by the way, folks. Can we still find out how our delegation voted on small business issues there?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if it's still on the front page. You might have to put it in the search mechanism, but you can get the congressional scorecard.
I think you should put it back on the front page, Ray.
Okay.
Hey, listen, no, seriously. I used it all the time.
No, I will pass it on.
Of course, I don't have a life. Of course, I don't have a life, Ray, so that's what, you know. But other people have lives, but seriously, I think you ought to. Let's get back to Kyoto for a minute. I believe the Kyoto Accords is nothing more than the rest of the world, and I hate to sound like I'm a conspiratorial, whatever the word is, conspiratorial. I don't know if it's a conspiracy, and I'm not being paranoid, but I do think that the rest of the world is jealous of the success of the United States. I know Europe is. I absolutely am certain that France is, and the Kyoto Accords is a way of making the U.S. come down to everybody else's level. What do you think?
Oh, I think that's a clear factor in the equation. I think you've got, you know, kind of the goofy extreme environmentalism at work, but I think that's at work as well. And, you know,
tell us what Kyoto would do if put in place.
Kyoto would have required, if we had signed on, for us to reduce our carbon dioxide emissions, our CO2 emissions in the United States, by, I believe, 2010, roughly, it would have been the goal. And we would have had to cut it back to the levels that were in effect in 1990.
Yeah.
So that would have required a dramatic regulatory tax regime mm-hmm. to be imposed. I mean, it would have been massive tax increases, regulations, so on and so on.
And increase in fuel prices.
That's exactly right. The price of energy would have gone through the roof and it would have devastated our economy. We wisely said no to that. President Bush, in particular, when he came in, said, nope, not going to go down that path. And to his great credit, but unfortunately,
did the Senate, and as you mentioned earlier, in 1997.
Right. But the issue still lingers around.
But it's starting to get a new head of steam, and that's what worries me, because see, Ray, the thing is, global warming is one issue. The Kyoto Accords is another issue. They only somewhat go together. I mean, if there is actually global warming, the Kyoto Accords is not the way to solve that problem.
Well, the Kyoto wouldn't do anything,
make the United States less competitive.
Right, but you know, this argument has been two things, real quick on this. Well, we've got the immediate danger are the push for domestic versions of Kyoto, and we see Senator John McCain from Arizona
right.
and Senator Joseph Lieberman pushing a domestic version of Kyoto.
It always frightens me when those two get together.
Yes. And that's a real problem. You know, their latest proposal, you know, we had the group that we're part of, United for Jobs, had a firm do an analysis, and it would cost, you know, more than 1.3 million jobs, energy mm-hmm. prices through the roof. The other problem is Senator Jeff Bingaman from New Mexico, who's pushing another version of CO2 emission caps, and I won't get into the details. It's more of an intensity level where he would mandate caps on greenhouse gas intensity and blah, blah, blah. But it's the same, bottom line is it's the same exact problem. The interesting thing that isn't talked about too much in the mainstream media is that the European Union has been, you know, at the forefront of pushing Kyoto and these types of things. And guess what? Most of the countries in the EU that have signed on to the Kyoto Protocol are not going to meet their targets
right.
of CO2 emissions. They're going to blow their caps.
That's right.
So,
but here's the difference, though, Ray. In those countries, there isn't the kind of litigious networks over there that would sue those countries like they would sue this country if we were busting our caps.
You're absolutely right about that. But that's the problem,
those countries would come over here and sue us,
yeah.
but we wouldn't necessarily go to their countries and sue them.
The other obvious point is that it doesn't work.
Exactly. Exactly. Watch out for Kyoto, folks. It's bad science, it's bad legislation, it's bad policy, and it's bad for the United States. Thank you, Ray, for being here. Good job today. Ray Keating, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.